Good morning. Good to be with you, beloved. Do you wish we had stayed in the meeting this morning? Contemplating and concentrating on that one that lived that fragrant life, that life that was given. Whenever our brother Jeff gets up, he always makes me to think and to think and to think. I think deeply. Life was given, but not for himself. Life was cut off, but not for himself. It was for the likes of me. Good to be with you, beloved. Let's read from Revelation in chapter 2. Book of Revelation in chapter 2. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil, and thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from where thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. The Church of Ephesus. Conditions in that church in the first century, but also conditions in the church throughout the ages. If you look at Ephesus and look at the state of the church today, there's hardly a difference. Maybe Ephesus was in a better place because when you begin to read on about Ephesus, this seemed to be a solid church, a sound church. A lot of good things the Lord said concerning Ephesus. They hated evil. I believe they judged sin when discovered in the meeting, in the assembly. They judged sin. They hated evil. Unlike the church at Corinth that was tolerating evil, an evil practice that not even the Gentiles did. And Paul wrote to them and said, you have not even mourned. You have done nothing about it. In fact, you are puffed up. Ephesus, the church at Ephesus made sure that the pretenders did not take the platform. The false apostles, the false prophets. They seemed to be very sound. They took care of the Lord's business. Patience for my name's sake, verse 3. And that they were active, for they labored and they did not faint. But that was good, but not good enough. The Lord said, there's something wrong in Ephesus. There is something wrong in the assembly. I have this against you. You have left your first love. This is something that we are concerned about, even in the church in the 21st century. That fervent love with which we started, that total commitment to the Lord, seems to be waning. In some instances, have disappeared. They left it. They veered away from it. You know, if something happens in the natural marriage, then you start to wonder, is there someone else? In the case of Ephesus, in the case of the church, there's someone else, there's something else. The church seems to be fascinated with the world system. The church seems to have a love affair with the world that's diametrically opposed to the Lord. And that fervor, that love, that early betrothal that they practiced was gone. It had disappeared because of time, because of our carelessness and our fascination with something that seems to be good. And I know there are good looking things out there. This thing seems to be innocent. And we seem to be moving away from our commitment to the Lord. And we're committing ourselves to things that are not beneficial in a spiritual sense. Things that are not would bring us closer to the Lord. We are moving farther and farther away. And the Lord Jesus said, these things are going to happen in the last days because lawlessness, he said in Matthew, lawlessness shall abound. Therefore, the love of many shall wax cold. We're not quite there yet. He's talking about a specific time. But we seem to be experiencing that. We are moving towards that. And I would talk to people and they would tell me about the good old days, how we used to do this. We were there at every meeting. We couldn't wait to get there. And now all of a sudden we don't have time. All of a sudden we don't have time. I always remember a brother back in New York, he's from the islands. And we're talking. I said, well, where are you when we are at these meetings? He says, until you all put air conditioning in this place, I'm not coming back. He didn't know anything about air conditioning before he came here. And he's like, I'm not coming until you all air condition this place. But before, he was enthusiastic. He would go there in 90 degrees because, you know, back in the Caribbean, you don't have a... You have a lot of sun. Well, you have a sun and more sun. But that's just an example. Just an example. We used to walk through the rain and get to the meetings, and now everybody have a car and you can't find them. What happened? We've left our first love. That initial and that early commitment is not there. It's not there. Paul experienced this with some of his companions, for instance. As he came to the end of his life and of his ministry, he mentions certain men. And in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he mentions a man by the name of Demas. We're talking about love. We're talking about our commitment to the Lord, our first love. And this man who was a companion of Paul throughout much of his ministry, when he came to the end, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It's the world system that he loved. So when there is a moving away from our first love, there's someone else or there is something else. In the case of Demas, it was the world. And the Bible tells us, beloved, that we're not supposed to be in love with the world. I know you've heard that so many times, but what does it mean? You see, there's an order out there, there's a system out there that would have nothing to do with the Lord. Nothing to do with the Lord. Got a lot of lights, got a lot of good things. But if you want to know how opposed they are to the Lord, you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see that whole beautiful system that you're falling for, it's opposed to the Lord. You have left your first love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For there are only three things in the world. All the lights and all the pomp and pageantry and all the glory out there centered around three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everybody wants to see. Yeah, show it to me. I want to see. Lust of, give it to me. I want it. The pride of life. You want to be head and shoulders above everybody else. You want to be number one. You want recognition. The desire to be. The desire to see. The desire to have. And the desire to be. And you're all taken up with reputation. But we have neglected character. The love of the world. In love with the world. That's the reason we have left our first love. Because there was something else. Something else. Someone else. James says, and this is strong stuff, beloved. James called those who have left their first love, who are in love with the world system, he calls them adulterers and adulteresses, spiritual unchastity. That's what he calls it. Ye adulterers, you're in love with someone else or something else. For friendship with the world, he says, is enmity with God. If a man is going to be a friend of the world, then he is the enemy of the Lord. Speaking of first love, when the Galatians first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejoiced in the grace of God. And they rejoice in this great salvation. And they were in love with his messenger. They were in love with Paul the apostle. But something happened. Someone else came into the picture. And all of a sudden, they didn't want to hear Paul preach the truth. And Paul reminded them, where is the blessedness? Remember that early commitment. What happened? The blessedness that you spoke of. I remember the time, way back then. You were so fascinated and so in love and so you cherished me so much that if it were possible, you would have taken out your eyes and given them to me. All of a sudden, am I become your enemy because I have told you the truth. I've told you the truth. Judaism had crept in. And they were no longer committed, totally committed to the Lord and his principles. You know, I am so fascinated when I read the pastoral epistles, especially 2 Timothy, because I see the things that Paul spoke of and I see them in my everyday experience. He says, for instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. But beloved, I have seen this. I have confronted this. They don't want to hear the truth because it gets in the way of what they want to do. I don't seek confrontation, but I engage people, especially Christians. And I was talking to a believer one time, what the Bible says about submission to authority on every level. And if we rebel against constituted authority, we're rebelling against God. And I read from, or I quoted from the scriptures. That person said to me, well, that was for Paul back then. You see, he didn't have any rights. We have rights. We have a constitution. We are committed to this. But he had to write those things because he had no rights. Well, that sounds good, except it's not scriptural. sounds pretty good, but you know, if you read the book of Acts with minimal care, you would find that Paul had a lot of rights. He had a lot of rights. When the Jews wanted to take him, and he's before a powerful man like Festus, and the Jews wanted to take him to execute him, he says, if I've done anything wrong, I'm not refusing to die, but I haven't done anything, they haven't proved anything. And let me tell you, no man, not you, Festus, no man is able to deliver me into their hands. You can't touch me. Why? Because he was a Roman citizen, and he had rights. You can't deliver me to them. He didn't have rights. He had a lot of rights. He said, you can't deliver me to them. He says, I appeal to Caesar. Yeah, he had this dialogue with this Roman soldier. I think he wasn't a soldier, an official. And the official was telling him, he says, you know, with a great sum, I obtain this freedom. I bought it. I paid for it. And Paul says, yes, but I was freeborn. I was born free. I can go on and on, but that's not the subject. But you try to explain away the truth because you don't want to submit to the authority of the Lord. What happened? Something else has taken its place. Your love. The Lord said to Israel, you know, you were in love with me. He says, you pursued me in the wilderness. You ran after me, but something happened. Something happened. Let's move on before we think. That's the problem. The problem with Ephesus. Otherwise sound. Otherwise active and diligent. A very important thing happened. They left their first love. Let me read, because I didn't say that right. Let me read what I was referring to in Jeremiah in chapter 2. This is the Lord confronting his people, telling them where they were. And what happened? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah chapter 2, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. I remember then, the love of thine espousals. me. You know, that young love, that fresh love, that honeymoon love. I remember that. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. I remember those days. I remember when you pursued me. The Lord says. But something happened. Something else came into the picture. Someone else came into the picture. Read verse 13. It's a lot of it, but this is it. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've gone after other gods. They have left their first love, their commitment to me. That's what the Lord said concerning his people. If he looks at us today, what will he see? I wonder what will he see? Well, there's a remedy. And God had given them the remedy. He had given them the prescription of returning. Because they didn't lose it. They left it. They left it. It's a difference. They left it. They forsook it. They turned away and they pursued other interests. And all of a sudden, they were no longer enthusiastic. They were no longer totally in love with the Lord, first of all. First of all. A lot of us, we don't understand that when the Lord is not first, beloved, we have become idolaters. You know, it's not an easy thing to say to God's people, but if the Lord is not first, then we have become idolaters because we have a God before him. What's the remedy? Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent. That's the word, repent. If there is hope for the church today, it lies in our attitude. We must repent. Remember from where we have fallen, the place from where we came, and go back. And go back. Do the works you were doing at the beginning, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. That's serious. The Lord says, I will remove that testimony altogether. I'll remove it. And a whole lot of places, the Lord has removed their testimony, their lampstand. You say, but they're still functioning. No, they're still going through the motions. There is no power. There's no evidence of the Spirit of God working in them. A lot of places going through the motions. Because we become so social in our presentations. We've come so social in the message that we preach. But the Lord Jesus is not first. He's not first. Remember from where thou art fallen. Repent means to change your mind, to return, to return. Removing the lampstands, removing the testimony. Like going out of business. You don't have any products. So, you know, Samson was somebody like that. He went through the motions. Oh, I'm going to go and stretch myself like at other times. Playing the fool, this man, playing with sin. I'm going to go and stretch myself as at other times. And the Bible says he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. An exercise in futility. Now, a lot of places are going through that. Repent. That's That's the prescription. That's the remedy. Repent. Remember from where you are fallen. We seem to be eliminating and eliminating practices, biblical practices, piece by piece. We're chopping it up and chopping it up. We don't want to talk about blood anymore. We cut that out. We don't want to talk about eternal redemption. We cut it out. And we don't want to talk about the virgin birth. No, we cut it out. You've left your first love. You need to repent. Because all those things are true. They're still true. God's message to his rebellious people. His people, but rebellious nevertheless. This is what he says. Isaiah 55. Verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return." That's repentance. Turn around. "Let him return unto the Lord." Remember the place from where you have fallen and repent. "Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." He will not hold it against you if you turn around and come home. Return unto the Lord. In chapter 44 it says, "Return unto me," verse 21, "for I have redeemed thee." The Lord is right where we left him. He still is in love with us. He still loves us with an everlasting love. It is you and I who have moved, beloved. It is you and I who have moved away from the Lord and have substituted something else for our commitment and our love to him. Israel is a good example of that. You know, Israel now, the Bible says, is in a state of unbelief, if you read Romans 11. A state of unbelief. In chapter 10, Paul describes them, that's the nation of Israel, because my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, but that they are in unbelief, they have forsaken the Lord. The Bible says they have gone about to establish their own righteousness because they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's where they are today. But God is merciful. God has a covenant he made with Abraham, and God is going to bring them in again. God is going to restore them. And the very people who said, "Away with him, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us." The very people who said, "We have a better way. We have our own righteousness. We're not going to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God." When God gathered them again from the four winds of the earth, "Oh, that blessed one is going to come. Come out of Zion," it says. "Come to Zion," it says. "That blessed one is going to come. And what will Israel say?" Israel will say, "The Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah," said Kenu. That's what it is. They're going to be saved. All Israel will be saved. And the Lord is going to bring them in again. And they're not going to say, "Away with him." They're going to say, Hebrew, "Jehovah, said Kenu, the Lord, our righteousness." Remember from where you're fallen, and repent. Repent. Go back to the place where you were. Because the Lord has good stuff in store for us when we return. To Israel, he said, "I will have mercy, and I will abundantly pardon." That's what he said. When the prodigal returned home, his father and say, "Well, you should not have left. I'll make you pay your dues." Father said that, and neither would the Lord. Oh, but the Bible says when he was yet a great distance away, his father saw him and ran and embraced him. God says, I will abundantly pardon. I will embrace him. I will pardon your transgressions. I will forgive your sins. And he says, put away that nonsense. You're talking about a servant. You are my son. You are my son. You always was my son. My son. This is my son. Let him return unto the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord, what the apostle writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Because we have left them, we have gone and formed allegiances and unholy alliances and allegiances with the world in business, in marriage, and in a whole lot of things in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And the Lord says to return. Turn away from those things. He made a promise. You know that. You know the passage very well. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So when you return, he says, I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord. But you got to give up Belial. You got to give up darkness. You have to give up the world, beloved. You have to give it up and return to the things you used to do at first, the first works. You got to repent. You got to repent. Remember from where thou hast fallen. Go back. If there's a fascinating book in the Old Testament and one that we can't quite fathom because of all the things that are said there, I'm thinking of Hosea. I don't understand Hosea completely. You know, and Gomer and all that stuff. But it tells me that Israel was a place of idolatrous conduct. Away from the Lord. Away from the Lord. One time someone scattered you. And he says, Shenina child, Jezreel, you scattered. The other one says, you're not my people. Not my people. They were in bad shape. But the Lord has reached out to his people and he beckons them to repent. Just like he did with Ephesus. I want to read that as we get to the end of this message. Hosea 14. The Lord is reaching out to his people. He wants to bless them. And he will in the future. It says, O Israel, return. That's the same thing that God said to Ephesus, return. Return. Get back to the place from where you're fallen. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You're guilty of leaving your first love. You're guilty of idolatry. You're guilty of going after other gods. He says, take with you words. Words. Oh, we got too many silent Christians. We don't say the things we need to say. These words are words of repentance. You know, you walk away and then you come back and you take your seat. No explanation. Where you been? None of your business. Take with you words and turn unto the Lord and say unto him, you got to say something. You got to say the words of repentance. You got to say them. That's what the prodigal says. I will arise and go to my father and I will say to my father. God says, take with you words and turn and say unto him, Take away all our iniquity. Receive us graciously, so we may render the calves or the fruit of our lips. We have sinned. We have rebelled. We have turned away from the Lord. We have practiced idolatry. We have gone after other gods. That is clear from this book. We get so sophisticated today. We depend on our economic might. Assyria shall not save us. They came to that conclusion. We will not ride upon the horses, the military might of Egypt. Neither will we say anymore to the work of our hands, idolatry. Ye are our gods. You remember when they did that, do you remember? Ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Oh yes, there's mercy with the Lord. We used to sing a long time ago, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Mercy. And God has promised, he promised three things, beloved, and here they are. He says in verse 4, I will heal their backsliding because they have returned. I will heal their backsliding. And if you have left your first love and you are in love with the world and its system, God says, if you return, I will heal your backsliding. I will love them freely. The free bestowal of his love, nothing in between. I will love them freely. He says, for mine anger is turned away from him. My anger is turned away. Everything is all right. My child has returned. My people have returned. They have returned to their first love. We are in fellowship again. We are in communion again. Just where are we, beloved? I don't have to turn to the last portion because we all know it very well. One of the best known verses in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's you and me today, my name was Israel, that's the church. If my people who are called by my name, what are we called? Christians. The believers were first called Christians at Antioch, Christ ones who are called by my name. Here's where we get confused. We start to pray first. No. We'll humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. And pray. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. Oh, here's a very important word. I read this in Psalm 51. I read it then. It's a very important word. Don't put the cart before the horse. Then. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I heal. We're praying for the healing of our land, but we have skipped over the other steps. No, let's start at the beginning. Humble ourselves. Pray and seek his face and turn, repent from our wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal. Then. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Return unto the Lord. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy wondrous love. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy mercies and for thy grace. And we give thee thanks for thy great salvation. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one we've been singing about and ministering about. That one whose name was like ointment poured forth. that fragrant name, that name that exudes an odor of a sweet smell before God. We thank thee that in our Lord Jesus Christ, we too can be that odor of a sweet smell. We thank thee for the saints, and we thank thee for thy word. For whatsoever written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. If there's a need for repentance among us, help us to have the courage and the conviction to repent and to turn back towards thee. If we have left our first love, and put something else in the place of our love for thee, Lord, enable us to overcome that obstacle and to remember from where we have fallen and repent. For thou wilt gladly receive us. As the Father received his Son who was wayward, he said, "This is my Son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Lord, if we have left our first love, we pray in the words of David the psalmist, "Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit." Accept of our thanksgivings for coming together today and for the ability to open thy word. Bless thy word to our hearts, and that which has been of thyself, bless it to the hearts of thy people. Anything of self and of flesh, you would remove. And direct our thoughts now as we part the one from the other. Watch over us, Lord, and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. May these thoughts go with us, and may thy word dwell in us richly unto all wisdom. We pray and give thanks in the wonderful name of thy beloved Son, our blessed Lord and our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.